So with matzah, we have a lot of interesting things that we have to deal with. Let's start by looking at the Rambam, Hilchos Chametz Matzah, and we're going to have something that you're not used to. Okay? Here you go. You got one? Okay. Bizman hazeh, she'ein sham korban, achar shem mevarech ha-motzi lechem, chozer mevarech al-achil matzah. That's what we do, motzi matzah, right? But, there's only one side. U'mitabel matzah, no, you have the wrong thing. Here, I'm reading from there. So now, here we go again. Do you do that? Do you dip your matzah in charoset and eat it?
Korech,
but not a korech. This is a motzi matzah. Do you dip your matzah in charoset and eat it?
No. I wish.
The Rambam says you do. Okay? Skip down to the bottom of that. Hasagas HaRavid. You see a little plus, Hasagas HaRavid? The Ravid says, Chos Mavarech Alachilas Matzah Metal of Roset, Omer Avram, right, I say, Zehevel. That's ridiculous. That's stupid. Okay? Pretty harsh language. So what's going on between the Rambam and the Ravid? So I first heard this in a shiur, and it was quoted in Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, but I couldn't find Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank on my computer, and I found the same idea in the name of this B'nai Binyamin. They say the same idea. So I don't know who stole from whom, or they both thought of it, but here's the idea. He said this idea of dipping the matzah in charoset is ridiculous. V'yesh lomar, the kavanato l'mash batuv, ha-manhig u'muvah b'tor, the matzah zecher l'cheros. What's bothering the Ravid? There's a clash. On the one hand, what's the symbolism of matzah? Freedom. What's the symbolism of maror? The mortar, the abdus, the working, the slavery. How in the world do you take matzah, which symbolizes freedom, and dip it in charoset, which symbolizes slavery? So, now we understand the question. We understand why the Ravid is upset, correct? So he says, it's a beautiful idea. It's really nice. You say it's really nice. Says, their machlokas goes back to machlokas that they have in Hilchos Tshuva. Okay? What did it say? Perkvam Hilchos Tshuva halacha hei. Shekasav Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu is the Rambam. Tam shaham mitzrim nenshu. What's the Rambam dealing with in Hilchos Tshuva and Perkvam? Free will. Okay? How could it be if, you know, God took away their free will, how come the Egyptians got punished? So he says, what's the reason why they got punished? The fisha lo amar lehem Hashem yisprach shehem yishavdu b'Yisrael. God never told each and every individual they should be involved in this. They did it. That's their own free will. They're getting punished. This is the view of the Rambam. Acharayved heishiv alzeh adarava. How could you punish an individual Egyptian? Heimasu mitzvah. God already foretold that the Jewish people need to be subservient, to be enslaved. We just said a Brit Ben Batarim. Every Egyptian that does this is actually following God's will. This is what God wanted to happen. So how could you punish him for doing what God wanted? Rather, about ma shene enshu, hu al koshi hashibud. According to the Ravid, do you know why the Egyptians were punished? Because while they were supposed to enslave the Jews, they made this way too hard. Made this way too hard. And because of their, you know, the excess in the enslavement, that's why they're being punished. The Nira Das Rabbeinu, Dal Koshi Hashibin, and it would seem to us that the Rambam, his idea about the extra difficulty in the slavery, Lo Nenshu, the Egyptians weren't punished for that. Why? Lefi Shazayat Tovatam, Shal Yisrael. Sheyatzu L'cheres, Kodin Zmanam, Mahay Taimah. Why did the Rambam not feel that the extra slavery is a reason for punishment? Because it caused the Jews to leave early. How many years were we supposed to be in Egypt?
400.
How many were we actually? 210. So because we were enslaved and worked so hard, we did 400 years of work in 210 years, says the Rambam, this is all to our benefit. So therefore, the Egyptians are not going to get punished for that. They're getting punished. Why did they ever get involved? They had free will to get involved. But as far as the extra hard slavery, that is not a reason for the Egyptians to be punished. You got that? Now, what would the Ravid say? Well, if he's there, Lokasha, did I skip? 1 second. Mitzorich Lomar, La Ravid, Yasu Lacheris, Mitan Lacherim. And the Ravid would say, there's a different reason why they left early. Right? What's the famous idea? How come it says 400 we left after 210 years? Where's 400 start from? Yitzchak. Right? So in other words, it's a different reason we're counting from Yitzchak, from his birth, that has nothing to do with the extra slavery, 400 years worth of slave labor in 210 years. It's just that the clock started earlier. Okay? Ulefizeh. Now listen to this beautiful idea. You tell me. What did we just say? According to the Rambam, the extra hard work, was that a good thing or a bad thing?
Good thing, no.
Good thing. Why? Because we left that early. We left early.
Yeah.
So for the Rambam, to take your matzah, which is a sign of freedom, and dip it in your charoset, which is a sign of slavery, is it a conflict?
No, it's a good thing. They're both good.
Is it a stira? No. They both led to the early exit. I would go further. It's not written anywhere here. Maybe that's why the charoset tastes so good. I always find it weird. The charoset is supposed to remind us of the slavery, the mortar, and yet everyone goes, oh, can I have more? That's charoset. It's so good, right? Ben and Jerry's makes charoset ice cream. You're like, wow. So why? Because according to the Rambam, the slavery led to our early exit. Now with the Ravid, what does he say? He said, no, charoset has nothing to do with it. 400 years are 400 years, and the Egyptians got punished because of the hard work. So for the Ravid, is there a steer between charoset and matzah? 100%. For the Rambam, is there a steer between the Rambam? Absolutely not. This is the first idea. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, very nice idea, right?
Wow.
It's a cool idea, right?
For sure.
So here's another idea.
That's my Yitzhara in Yeshiva, is to come into this room.
There you go.
In the afternoon.
Very nice. Thank you very much. So what do we have over here? That's one answer. Second idea, I once heard, we used to have cassettes in those boxes. Now you have to fill them. There was a rabbi from
England. I think it doesn't know what that is.
Yeah. It's like pre-USBs. And anyway, disc on keys. There was a rabbi from England. I can't remember his name right now. We had a whole bunch of his tapes. And he quoted a Rav Gore.
Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein.
That was it. Emanuel Bernstein. He spoke beautifully. Okay? I think he has a son that teaches in Israel now. Anyway, he quoted this Rav Gore, who was like a Rosh Kollel in England. I know, but he had a very nice idea as well. This fits in now. It's lumdus in figuring out which is the ikar matzah. When I eat, two times I eat matzah. Motzi matzah and afi komen, right? Which one's the ikar matzah? When I have a chit matzah at the Seder. So you say what?
Afi komen.
Afi komen. Anyone say different? Whatever you say is going to be right. Someone's going to say
afi komen is definitely more hyped.
More hyped?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you say?
I heard once you
go
have
to... Go for the other ones.
You're chiv
to... Okay, motzi matzah. Okay, let's see where the Rishonim line up. Ready? Look at Rashi. Rashi in Arabi Pesachim. Im aptir nachar matzah afikomen. Shatorich lechol matzah begmar suda. I have to eat afikomen at the end. Right? Zecher lematzah necheltan apesach. This is... that I have matzah along with my korban pesach, right? V'zohi matzah b'tzua sha'anu ochlim b'achrona l'shem chovat matzah otah shalach rachila. So as Rani said... what is the matzah? The matzah I have to eat at the Seder? Is the matzah after the meal? What we call afikomen? That is lechiyuv. Question then is, so why did I make the bracha earlier? Sort of weird. Alright? So, what do you guys use for mar? What vegetable do you use for mar?
Radish? Romaine lettuce.
Okay, good. So, I use lettuce as well. I know most people in America use horseradish.
Also,
sure. Grated horseradish. Yeah, I know. Okay. The Gemara actually says better to use romaine lettuce. So let's say I have romaine lettuce for mara, and that's the only vegetable I have. But I need a vegetable for carpus as well.
Yeah.
So what would you do? What would you do for carpus? What do you think? I have to eat the lettuce, right? So now, when I eat the karpas, would I make a bracha on my maru? So the Gemara says yes, because how could I fill my stomach with maru and then only afterwards make a bracha, alachilas maru? Says Rashi, same thing here. I need to eat matzah after the meal. But I can't start eating my meal till I make hamotzi, right? So since I'm making hamotzi over matzah, so I have to make an halachilas matzah. But that's not really my chiyuv. My chiyuv is what? As you said, afikoman. I'm making the bracha earlier because of technicality. Is that part clear? But according to Rashi and the Rashbam, the ikar mitzvah is what? Afikoman. Look at the Rush. Rush disagrees. Hilkach mira li de oto matzah eino l'shem chova ela ochlin oto zecher lepesach shinechal ala sova b'achrona. Fishu zecher lepesach yechitem l'din ha-pesach shalom l'chol achra. According to the Rush, the ikar mitzvah is the first matzah. Okay? Nafka mina would be, let's say I only have a kezayis of one kezayis of shmura matzah. So, what should I use it for? The afikoman or my motzi matzah?
Motzi matzah.
Depends who you ask, right? If you ask Rashi, what would he say?
Afikoman.
Save for afikoman. If you ask the Rashi, what would he say?
Motzi.
First one. Okay. I once saw a really nice idea in Rabbi Riskin's Haggadah. Matzah is referred to sometimes as the bread of faith. So is mun. Mun is referred to as the bread of faith. So by man is a machlokas or a chayim and Ibn Ezra. What's the faith about the man? The Ibn Ezra says the simple idea that every night I go to sleep with my cupboards bare and I have faith that tomorrow God will provide for me and my family food. Right? Every homeowner, every parent, we want to make sure that their family is provided for. And yet I have to go to sleep with nothing in the house. And have faith that God will provide. Ibn Ezra says that's what makes them on the bread of faith. Said the Arachaim, just the opposite. I never have to work. I know for a fact tomorrow there'll be bread on the table. And I don't forget about God. See, there's no atheists in the foxhole, but there's lots of billionaires in the foxhole. Right? Because everything's good. Life's good. They don't need God. They forget all about God. So Arachaim says, when we have the mun coming in every day, you look at the billionaires. And if you still think about God, even though everything's provided for you, well, that's amazing. So we could say the same thing in Machlokas Rashi and Tosos, which is the Iker Matzah. Is it the matzah I'm eating when I'm hungry, beginning of the meal, or when I'm satiated at the end? When I'm poor, when I'm rich, when I'm hungry, when I'm satiated? Same idea could be stated. Fine. Rashi, Rush. So far we good? Comes along the Aruch Chaim, the Aruch HaShulchan, it says an interesting thing. Aruch HaShulchan, without reading the whole thing inside, feel free to, says that the view of Rashi and the Rashbam, that the Afikoman is the main matzah, is the view of the Rambam as well. It's the view of the Rambam as well. So now the question is, the Aruch Chaim starts getting into, so why even have matzah, other matzah? Right? Why even have it?
Technicality.
Okay, could be. Right, what's the purpose of the other matzah? Now, this is what the Rambam says. But he says the Rush disagrees. Okay, so what we're going to do now is what Rav Gorth does. Takes it one step further and says, the Rambam is like Rashi. The Ravid will be like the Rush. We haven't yet figured out why yet. The Rambam's like who? Rashi, which is the main matzah? Afikoman. The Rav is like the Rush, which is the main matzah, the first one. Good. Look at the source here, Psachim. Kuf, Daf Kuf Chav. Sheshes Yomim Tocha Matzah, Uviyom HaShvi, Atzeret HaShem Lekecha. Sayim Matzah 6 days, 7th is Yontif, Mashvi Rishus, just like the 7th day, I'm not obligated to eat matzah, just a Rishus. I'm Sheshes Yomim Rishus, so too, 6 days of Pesach is a Rishus. My time, Habi Dovershe, Hayabachlau, Vyatsam in a Klau Lameid, Lameid al Atzma Yatsa, Lameid al Kal Kul Yatsa. Right? Klau Leprat. Says the Gemara, wait, Yachalaf Laila Rishomershut? Do I think that Leila Seder also is only a Rishut? Or is there an obligation for me to eat matzah? Tamamar, Al Matzah Marum Yochlu. You're obligated to eat. Ainli Elab's Masha Beit Mikdash Kayam. Maybe that's only when there's Beit Mikdash. No, Bizmacha Beit Mikdash Kayam Minayim. How do I know even nowadays no Beit Mikdash? Tamamar, Be'erab Tochlu Matzot. Hakatuv kavu chova. I'm obligated to eat matzah. Now, the Vilna Gaon says, when am I obligated to eat matzah? Leila Seder. Okay? All the rest of the time, what do the Gemara call it? A reshut. Says the Vilna Gaon, it's only a reshut in compared to the chova, but it's still a mitzvah. And that's why the Vilna Gaon would eat matzah all the days of Pesach, and the last day of Pesach, it's the only thing that I can think of where the Vilna Gaon and the Hasidim do the same minhag. They have like a meal, and they have matzah at the last meal. Hasidim have this idea of, oh, it's the end of Pesach, we want to see a Pesach with matzah, and the Vilna Gaon is my last chance of becoming the mitzvah. You know, nothing about these special, you know, emotional. It's like, I could only, in another hour, it's not a mitzvah to eat. Today, it's still a mitzvah. Not a chiyuv, but a mitzvah. So, why would one have to eat for a whole week matzah? Says the Rambam in Mor Devuchim. Look at the bottom source. Aval achiyuv matzah, ilu haya yom echad, lo yinim ad yishim bo. If it would just be a one-day thing, I wouldn't really appreciate it. I wouldn't. It would not be something that I would try to understand. Lots of times we change our diet temporarily. Oh, I usually like eating X, but they didn't have X, so I ate Y today. All right, that was all the time. Some of you guys have your favorite cereal. Okay, that's not there. Oh, I got to slum it and take the other one. All right? We do that all the time. It says, says the Rambam, what's the reason why I have to eat matzah 7 full days? So that matzah makes an impression upon me. I just have matzah one meal, that would be nothing. That could happen sometimes even on a Tuesday night in the month of Shvat. You know, oh, there's no bread in the house, I'm going to smear something on my matzah. Okay? There are people that eat matzah all year round. Okay?
I sometimes make a like matzah pizza, like randomly.
Right.
Because I actually really like matzah pizza.
There you go. So the fact that today you made a matzah pizza instead of a grilled cheese, you know, toast. Mm-hmm. So like, no, but he did it for a week straight. Oh, something's going. That's what the Rambam says. Now, using this idea, listen to Rav Gorth. He quotes the Ma'is and Nisan. And he asks a question on the Haggadah. In the Haggadah, we have the famous Rabbi Gamliel says, you know, whoever doesn't say these three things, that Yotzei, Pesach Matzah Mar, right? Mm-hmm. Pesach al Shuma, Matzah Shuma. What does it say? What's the reason why I have matzah? And remember, what's the reason why I eat matzah? What does it say in that in the Haggadah, Rabbi Gamliel? Because we didn't let the dough rise in time. It's a symbol of our geula. Okay? Of our cheirus. That's what it says. But the Ma'is HaNisim says, so one second, what you're telling me is, I eat matzah because the Jews had to rush out of Mitzrayim, right? The only problem is, we have psukim that said we ate matzah in Egypt. Not just then. We ate matzah in Egypt. And therefore, the Abarbanel says, matzah has a dual message. One is to remind me of the Avdus. Do we have a Chumash here? Yes, we do. It's Shmos. Okay, just need a Sefer Dvarim, one second. Dvarim, Perek, Tet Vav. Says, לא תאכל עליו חמץ, שבעת ימים תאכל עליו מצות ולחם עוני. So why am I eating matzah? Because it was what? Lechem oni, bread of affliction, referring to what? The avdus. כי בחיפזון יצאת מארץ ישראל, מה תזכור את יום שיש לך מארץ ישראל, כל ימי חייך. And then it said, oh my God, took me out quickly. The bread didn't have a chance to rise. So in the same pasuk, says the Abarbanel, there's a reference to Avdus and to Chavis. On the night of the Seder, however, why do I eat it? What did Rabbi Gamliel say? Because of the Chavis. That's the night of the Seder. The other 7 days, why do I eat it? Avdus. Here's the very cool idea of Rav Gorth. The other 7 days, and the other time at the Seder where it's not a chiyuv, it's also avdus. When it says matzah zu is zecher lecheiros, it's the matzah that is my chiyuv. All the other time that I eat matzah, it's lechem oni. And now everything makes sense. The Rambam was like Rashi. What's the ikker mitzvah of eating matzah at the Seder for him?
Afikomen.
Which meant when I first took my motzi matzah, what was it for? Was it for Zecher Cheiros or Zecher Avdus?
Zecher.
Avdus. So is it a stira for the Rambam to dip in a charosis, which is Avdus? No. Avdus and Avdus. But for the Raivid, who holds like the Rush, what is the Iker Mitzvah Motzi Matzah? For him, that's Cheres. Of course you can't be a Cheres in a charosa. It's Heva. You follow that idea? Mm-hmm. You flipped it around, right? But this is, I thought it was a very cool idea. Last idea. And this, I didn't get a chance to make up sources. I'll just tell it to you. This, I had a Haggadah from Rav Rimon. Okay? And very nice idea. Why do we eat matzah? So what do we say? Because there's no time for the dough to rise. There's a lot of problems with that. First of all, we were told even before we left that we're going to eat matzah. So you could say, Kodesh Baruch Hu knew the future, knew it was going to happen. The Shibboleth Leket says that. But I have more issues. We just finished reading Parshat Vayikra, Parshat Tzav, talking all about the Karbanos. And I don't know if you paid attention, but the basic food in the Beit HaMikdash was matzah. There was no bread. Everything was made of matzah. Korban Mincha was matzah. The Lechem HaPanim was matzah. Everything's matzah. So everything in the Beit HaMikdash is matzah, because if it's a bidi eved, it turns out we had to rush out quickly. The dough didn't have a chance to rise. So therefore now, from time immemorial, we're going to have matzah in the Beit HaMikdash because we rushed out. Seems a little bit strange, no? Also, in Shmos, when it talks about why do we eat the matzah, oh, it talks about like the cheros that it signifies. So really, it's just a technicality. And as we said before, the Mishnah with Rabbi Gamliel is referring to cheros and geula. So what is it? Is matzah avdus? Is matzah cheros a geula? Or is matzah the food that you eat in the Beit HaMikdash? What's special about matzah? So we know, what's the characteristic? What's the special characteristic of matzah? It doesn't rise. Right? Matzah doesn't rise. And that, you see in all the Mefarshim, hints towards modesty, humility. An arrogant person is haughty. He lets it rise. And we know we're humble. It's a new one. And the difference in gematria between chametz and matzah is three. It's three. They both share a mem and a tzadi. There's three. Says the Chassam Sofer, what's that alluding to? The shalosh midot motzien adam min olam. There are three things that make you lose your olam hazeh. And what are they? Kina, taiva, and kavod. Right? So that's the difference. These things make you, you're no longer humble, you're no longer modest. You have kina, taiva, and kavod, that ruins you. The Maharal adds an idea, he says like this. What is matzah? It's straight flour and water. No added ingredients. Flour and water straight up. Matzah symbolizes internal cheres, without anything extra. The lack of extra is actually a positive. There's a total focus on my penis, on my inside, without being subservient to external things. I don't need my car, I don't need my phone, I don't need my clothes, I need all these extra things. It's all about me. Okay? I don't need all these things that from alien cultures that make up my personality. So what do? I have a week and I go on a strict diet. And what's my strict diet? Of matzah. Meaning what? Strict diet of looking at my penis. And only then can I venture back into society and try to continue to live according to my inner standards. Now, it's true B'nai Israel's bread didn't rise because of technicality. But you could say further, you know why it didn't rise? Because they reached that inner truth. They got to the point that they recognized that what's important is what's inside. And that brought about the geula. God told them beforehand, but now on Leil HaPesach, they actually attained that level for themselves. And I want to add to this that we compare matzot to mitzvot and mitzvot to tzavta. What is tzavta? Tzavta is a meeting place. Okay? Mitzvot is an opportunity to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And obviously, that's the whole idea. It's an opportunity for connection. And now, it's clear why, what's the food that's eaten in the Beit HaMikdash? Matzah. Matzah is like mitzvah, it's safta. Where am I meeting Kadosh Baruch Hu? In the Beit HaMikdash. I don't need any additives. It's just me and God now. No accoutrements. It's just the pnimius without any of the extras. Now, it's mutter to eat chametz all year. In Shavuos, even a mitzvah. I eat the korban shtei alechem. But we have to remember what our true identity is. While adding what's good from society, we have to remember all the time we need matzah and Pesach to recharge our batteries, to remind us who we really are. When you miss out on opportunity, in Hebrew it's called machmetza cha'a. Chametz, like missing out. Cheres isn't freedom from, but it's freedom towards. When we talk about our freedom, here's a quick idea for your Seder, Ephraim. It's very strange that we celebrate our holiday of freedom with a holiday that's filled with rules and regulations. I mean, the whole word Seder means structure. I would have thought, let's celebrate our freedom by doing whatever you want. I'm free now, right? No, because it's not about that. It's not like, oh, let me just go on vacation and lie on the beach. It's you're free now to excel. That's to be productive, not to be enslaved. And that's why we have, with the karbanot, we have matzah, right? That's why the matzah is with the kachmas. Even my Pesach Sheni, I have matzah. Now, when is chametz used? Twice. By the karban toda and the shtei alechem. The karban toda, we have 40 pieces of bread that I bring. 30 of them are matzah. 10 of them are chametz. Okay? Why? Because I should recognize everything from God, physical and spiritual things, and say thank you. And on Shavuos, I have shtei alechem. Why? Because I build myself up from Pesach. I start off recharging my batteries, feeling about my inside, and I work my way to Shavuos. I get to the point that I recognize I can now serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu not just with my Yetzer Tov, but even with my Yetzer. I can take the chametz and whatever I got from outside and also turn that towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore I bring the shtei alechem because I've already reached that point. I don't have to be isolated in my ghetto. I could take my inner values out and be out in the world and show other people. But that's the idea, that's the secret, I would say, of matzah. According to Rav Rimon, that yes, it's cheres, yes, it's avdus, but even more than that, it's getting in touch with who I really am inside. Anyway, stop over there.